open up the House Committee on Rules of Public Affairs, today, March 4, 2003. First on the agenda today, we will look at possible introduction of committee bills. There are three bills, members, that have been approved by the Speaker's office to have these introduced. So with that, Representative Flores.
Mr. Chair, I move the Legislative Council drafts 3476, 3088, and 3089 be introduced as committee bills.
Thank you. Representative Flores has moved Legislative Council drafts 3476, 3088, and 3089 be introduced as committee bills. Any discussion? Any objection? Okay, seeing none, they are so introduced. And we close the work session on the committee bill introduction. And let's see, for the public hearing, Representative, do you have a concern about taking them together? We can do simultaneous hearings? Okay. Let's then open up public hearings. Yeah, that's a little drumming. Anyway, simultaneous public hearings on House Bill 2557 and H.J.R. 12. And to introduce this legislation, Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Jeff Cruz, State Representative, District 7. Let me give you a little history on these bills, because this is the third session they've been introduced, and the first session that they've actually been heard. Except for very briefly, I think Representative Backlund did towards the end of the last session. This came in 97 when I was a freshman. There was discussion at that point in time about whether or not the superintendent should be an elected position or a hired position. And it is in Oregon law currently, the governor does have the authority, if the legislature approves, to appoint the superintendent. That's currently constitutional for that to happen. I went back home after the 97 session and had a long discussion with my father, who was on the Roseberry School Board for 20 plus years and on the State Board of Education for 8 years, about this concept. And it came away from that discussion with him thinking that indeed, since how education is a huge business in this state, that maybe it would be appropriate that the person running the Department of Education be hired like any other CEO of a major business would be hired. So I drafted these bills in 99 as one way to go. The Governor Kitzhaber tried in 99 to pass legislation to actually make it a gubernatorial appointment, and did not get very far with that concept. And some of us who were opposed to going that way, it was more the concept of that would make the governor the de facto superintendent of public instruction, because superintendent would be working directly for the governor. And we thought that the accountability for that position needed to be elsewhere. Currently, and to be quite honest, the election of the superintendent of public instruction is more of a popularity contest at this point in time. If you think back into the elections for that position, it has never been something that has come to the media attention to a large degree, basically on the business of running education. And so the superintendent is accountable to the people, but the accountability mechanisms are somewhat loose, shall we say. So we came up with this concept of reconfiguring the Board of Education, to be a 7-person board, 2 members elected by or appointed by the governor, and the other 5 to be elected from the 5 congressional districts in the state, to make sure that the entire state was represented, and they would hire the superintendent. So the superintendent would be directly accountable to the Board of Education, which currently they are not, or that person is not. And this was kind of something that stuck in my father's gizzard a little bit, shall we say, because, and I won't mention any names who was superintendent then, but the superintendent, when he was chairman of the Board of Education, said, "I'm not accountable to you." And he thought that was probably not the best way to do business. There's some amendments that need to go with this. 2 years ago, in discussing this with John Marshall, he said to keep this from being incredibly political, maybe it would make sense for the 5 regional board members to be elected by a vote of the school boards in that congressional district rather than a popular vote. So it's like, to a degree, one step, the people elect school boards, and the school boards would elect the superintendent, and then the linkage and the accountability is direct to the people who run the business of the schools at the local level. This makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. The reason for the HJR is because it takes constitutional change for this to happen. And so this would have to pass before anything would be implemented. Like I said, there's some amendments that probably need to happen here. And but I've my thought process, and this would be up to the discretion of the committee, obviously, would be to take this one step further than what's actually in the bill. And because another thing that's become quite obvious over time is the disconnect between the various segments of our education system, between K-12 community colleges and higher ed, and would it make sense to have a board of education for a K-16 system? And in that case, we would need to add to this board representatives from community colleges and higher ed also, and then we have it would give us the opportunity to have a fully integrated system. That also makes some sense to me. I'm not sure if that's too big of a bite of the apple to take all at once or not, but I think it's something worth considering. Education has certainly been a major focus ever since I've been in the building. Accountability also seems to be a major focus, and the frustration at the local level is they're pretty much dictated to. This would actually allow local schools to have a stronger voice in the way the departments run and the way it administers to them. So it's a bottom-up approach to administration, and I think it has merit. And that's the very short version, and I would answer any questions.
Great. Any questions? Okay. You mentioned the, having this Board of Education handle everything from K mm-hmm. to 16. Doesn't the current Board of Education already cover community colleges?
Representative Doyle.
I'm thinking that the Board of Education, we have a Board of Higher Education.
Right.
We have a State Board of Education, but where community colleges fit in there, I'm not positive.
I can answer that. The community colleges have their own community college board.
Yes.
But with an appointed superintendent, and I'm not sure that's the right
name. That's not the right title.
Not the right title.
Yeah.
But a director of community colleges, and again, that may not be the right title.
Mm-hmm.
And that person has testified, I know, last time in front of your committee, that's in effect. So we actually have 3 boards now.
Yes.
Board of Higher Education, this Community College Board, and the appointed Board of Education.
Okay. We can hold that question for a minute. I think we have somebody that can answer to that a little more directly. Any other questions for Representative Cruz?
Chair Doyle, thank you. Representative, you mentioned at one point the idea of expanding the Board of Education to include representatives from higher education and community colleges. Did you have in mind that that would be in the same bill? Wouldn't that cause kind of two different issues to...
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Backlund, that was my reference to how big of a bite of this apple to take all at once. I mean, clearly, the relating clause, I think, would allow that to happen here because it says relating to the State Board of Education. And so if we were expanding the State Board of Education to be the whole thing, this could be done in this bill. I guess it would depend upon how excited community colleges and higher ed were to move towards a new model of administration.
Yes, Representative Backlund.
Thank you. One other thought. Do you have any indication or idea as to how willing the voting populace might be to give up their right of electing somebody or some position?
Well, Chair Representative Backlund, to a degree they're not. Because they're still electing their Board of Education who would elect the representatives. So to a degree, what we're doing is putting the election of the person that represents each region of the state more directly connected to that region of the state. So theoretically, you have a higher level of accountability. You know, I'm perfectly willing if it was consensus that we leave the elected persons on the board elected by the general population, that would be fine with me. But like I said, in a conversation with John Marshall, he suggested that maybe the direct accountability to boards of education would be something that we could get benefit out of by that form of election. It sounded like a reasonable option to me, and certainly one I'm willing to consider. But you know, you ask somebody in Ontario how directly connected they feel to the superintendent of education, probably not very, but if it was somebody from the second congressional district, the connection would probably be a little more direct.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? I guess one final thing for me is how do you see this as improving either the way government works, the way that the department is more accountable to its citizens? I mean, is there any advantage over what we have right now?
Mr. Chair, I think potentially there is. Simply in the fact that one would assume that this board being the hirer and firer of the superintendent could make greater demands on that person and get greater accountability. And if we indeed hired as superintendent somebody with the credentials and management skills to run a business that size, I think they would be able to perform their job better. So, you know, if you really want to get the true efficiencies, you would include community colleges and higher ed, because then we could eliminate the Board of Higher Ed and theoretically the chancellor's office, because the superintendent would become the chancellor. So there would be a huge amount of efficiencies in that. But, you know, it's just this. I think I would automatically assume that something with this size budget and this and the amount of administration there, that somebody trained in managing a business could do a more efficient job of managing the business than somebody who's elected and may not have those skills.
Okay. Yes, Representative Berger.
You know, Mr. Chairman, this is not an unusual observation, not particularly of this one position, but I hear this of other positions. For instance, I hear it about the community college board, who and what kind of background and credentials. Even at the state level, we have many people who come into the state legislature who have never served on a local board or have never seen a budget. And so that is a criticism that you hear from the public that says there should be some kind of order here as you, if you're going to take on the size budgets of the state or the size budgets of the of education or the community college. So I don't think it's an isolated kind of observation here. I think that just a couple of things. I think the fact that any person that is managing a department that does have a large budget, it certainly helps if they have those skills. The thing that bothers me, I think that's probably the good part, the thing that bothers me a little bit is how do you depoliticize it and try and make it work where it's not just popularity, you know, if you drop down to the local boards. And if you go to the local boards, Representative Cruz, how do you do with the five congressional districts? That includes, of course, more than one local board. Were you thinking of all the boards in that district would have an election?
Yes.
And, well, it's not...
Ms. Chair, Representative Berger, yeah, I mean, that was the model we were looking at. And you know, Governor Kitzhaber had the right idea here. It was just the way he was going about it that I had real issues with. Every other agency head, with the exception of Boley, Treasurer, and Secretary of State, is hired based on their ability to do the job. And education is the biggest budget we have in the state, and so it makes sense that the person that runs it should be hired because they have the ability to do the job that needs to be done. The only difference I had with Governor Kitzhaber's approach was where the accountability was, and I would prefer that the accountability be with local school boards rather than the governor's office.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Andrea Henderson, I'm going to have you come forward, Community College Association. Thank you, Andrea. If you can just, you heard some questions being asked about the community college portion of it, if you can just kind of give us a little briefing.
Certainly. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Andrea Henderson, Executive Director of the Oregon Community College Association, and I understand you had some questions about our current governance structure. Community colleges are under the State Board of Education currently, and have been. The State Board of Education meets once a month. They meet one full day as a K-12 board. They meet half of the second day to consider community college issues, so they meet separately as a separate docket for just the community college portion of their docket. Traditionally, at many states, community colleges are with higher ed. In Oregon, the community colleges arose out of the K-12 system, and so traditionally, the community colleges always have been associated with K-12. The current Board of Education actually hires the commissioner for community college and is the appointing authority for that position and hires that person and oversees them, who then in turn oversees the Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development. I'd be happy to answer any other questions you may have about our governance structure.
Well, that certainly shows what I know and don't know.
Chair Doyle, I was going to say that it's very appropriate that we got this good education today. We learned something, and that's always good.
Well, I originally felt bad that I didn't know until the chairman of the Education Committee had the same question, so I don't feel as bad. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Andrew. Okay. No others have signed up to testify on this issue, but appreciate the fact that we had that opportunity at least to hear it, and again, just thinking outside the box, maybe a little bit differently than what we have in past sessions. And so I will go ahead and close the public hearings on House Bill 2557 and HCR 12. And just for information for committee members, we are, unless something comes up over the next day, I don't see that we're going to be meeting Thursday afternoon. That next Tuesday we'll again start up on elections issues. And we've got quite a full agenda just on various election matters, and we're just trying to sit through those issues to see where we're going to go. So take probably next couple of weeks just going back again on election issues. And from there, we'll kind of see where the session takes us. So anyway, we'll go ahead and adjourn today's committee meeting.
Thank you.